Ladies and gentlemen, Charles Booker returns. He was a state representative. He's a well-known activist, dad, husband, and a member of the Louisville community who would like to be a United States senator, from all I gather. Charles, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, brother. It's good to be back.
Always good to have you on. I thought your video was riveting, the announcement video that you guys put out yesterday. Here's just one of the lines that you used in it.
Building walls between us, they're scared now.
The people who are building walls between us, they're scared now. Would you mind just taking that concept and telling me about the walls that are being built, these people that are building walls, and why they're scared now?
Absolutely. Well, you know, that video was really important to me because it speaks to the fighting spirit of Kentuckians. It speaks to our hopes, our common bonds, and our desires to win a better future. And when I say those folks that are trying to divide us are afraid, I'm saying that people like Rand Paul and Mitch McConnell, who have really profited off of division, realize that when we come together, we're unstoppable. And what I'm saying is, when we unite across race, class, geography, when we realize that we're actually fighting for our future together, then we can do so much more. We can make sure that poverty is a thing of the past and people have more money in their pocket. They have a roof over their head. They have good paying jobs. They're safe in their communities. And, you know, as we've been through a lot here in Kentucky, dealing with the loss of Breonna Taylor and so many others, you've seen a response across the Commonwealth of folks from all backgrounds saying that we need to do things differently to have a better future. And that is my message. And I'm proud to help tell that story.
You had incredible momentum right at the end of that primary. A lot of people thought if the primary had been held 10 days later, 2 weeks later, you would have just swept right into there and been the candidate against Mitch McConnell. But here we are now, pointed toward a 2022 Senate race. I know you have an exploratory committee, but you're out there. Do you still have the momentum in terms of people? Is there money that's coming in? Is there interest? Are there people who are saying, I'm going to get on the team and help you, Charles?
Oh, the momentum is even greater now. You know, I think earlier in my previous run and even in the state house, I was telling this story about how we can come together from the hood to the holler. And, you know, a lot of folks, especially in national politics, didn't give it a chance. They didn't give Kentucky a chance. But we showed them what can happen when we come together, and now they're paying attention. And so, you know, even in our launch of Exploratory, the momentum has been incredible. Had over 7,000 individual donations. We have folks supporting from all parts of Kentucky and all over the country because I think everyone realizes that if we take this type of stand to not just get rid of a terrible politician, but to say that we want to have a brighter future to where everyone can be healthy, everyone can thrive, we can all have the liberty and freedom to pursue our dreams. If we do that in Kentucky, we can do it anywhere. And so I'm excited about the momentum we're showing already. And I know Kentucky's ready to shock the world, and I sure as hell am.
There you go. Charles Schumer, he's now Senate Majority Leader, anointed Amy McGrath really before getting a chance to meet you. Have you heard from the National Party? Have you heard from Senator Schumer yet? Is any of that stuff mobilizing for you?
You know, what's really exciting now, and I've told you about my background from the West End of Louisville, from the hood, and a lot of folks I've talked to across Kentucky in rural areas, is we're used to being ignored. You know, we're used to being counted out. Nobody listens to us. They don't give us a chance. But because we showed up in an incredible way, and man, there were folks that never voted before that were organizing with me. There were folks that voted for Trump in 2016 that were organizing with me. We made it clear, don't ignore Kentucky anymore. And so this time around, you know, the DSCC and a lot of these partners have acknowledged that we've been doing the work. And I'm excited to show what a big, broad coalition can look like without all of this national infrastructure saying this is what Kentucky needs. We as Kentuckians are going to say what we need, and then these national partners can do their part to support us and get out of the way. And, you know, that excites me most because this really is a moment where Kentuckians need to be heard and valued and treated like we matter, because we do.
So do you feel like you're going to have to run as an outsider without the help of Senator Schumer and the Democratic National Party?
Well, you know, my communications so far, there's been just unanimous support nationally and across Kentucky. And so we have the chance to really have a huge, broad, dynamic coalition that spans the political spectrum. It spans the seeming divides of geography, class, and race, and really helps us get to the heart of structural challenges. So I firmly expect that should we take that next step, we're going to have a big, strong, powerful coalition that people didn't expect possible in Kentucky. And, you know, we were showing what it could look like in my primary previously. And if folks were paying attention to what's happening in Kentucky, this won't be a surprise. But I'm happy with surprising folks all the same.
The U.S. Senate, obviously, you have to have an eye globally, too. President Biden is talking about getting the American troops out of Afghanistan before September 11th this fall. Had you been in the seat, would you be supportive of the president's concept?
You know, I've been very clear for a long time now that we have to be serious about ending endless wars. And we do have a military-industrial complex that honestly puts a lot of hardworking men and women, like many of us across Kentucky, on the front lines. You know, I've had family in every branch of the military. And so I definitely think it's time for us to be very urgent and intentional about make sure our family members get home who have given their all. My sister-in-law served in Afghanistan. And certainly I heard the words of Mitch McConnell. He doesn't give a damn about our loved ones, whether they live or die. And Rand Paul's too busy arguing with Dr. Fauci to care about Kentuckians who are sacrificing everything. So now is the time to have that real conversation, and we need to honor our commitment to ending endless wars.
Okay, Rand Paul arguing with Dr. Fauci, calling the wearing of masks after a second vaccination theater. Surely, I'm sure you're on the opposite side of that, but give me your response to Dr. Rand Paul saying that to Dr. Anthony Fauci.
Well, you know, for Rand Paul to be an eye doctor, he sure doesn't see Kentucky. He doesn't see the challenges we face. He doesn't see the fact that we're trying to get back on our feet after this pandemic has caused a lot of folks to lose everything. I mean, we've had historic levels of unemployment. And we all knew before the pandemic, you go into a medical facility, you see physicians, you see practitioners with masks on. We know that just that in and of itself helps to stop the transmission and the spread. That's just general knowledge before the pandemic. And so to pick that as an arguing point is really a distraction from the fact that we're all trying to get past this pandemic that has really crushed us and changed our lives. And, you know, so I want to sit him aside, and he's going to play his games, and he sort of fetishes over arguing with Dr. Fauci. Look, we're trying to get back on our feet, open our economy back up, have our children in schools being safe. My daughter just went back to preschool, and making sure that our economy can thrive beyond this pandemic. That's the type of leadership that we need, and not playing these petty games about who's the smartest person in the room while Kentucky isn't falling off the cliff.
We're talking with Charles Booker. He's a candidate for the U.S. Senate. In Minnesota, a black man named Dante Wright was shot by police officers. You've no doubt seen the video and seen the reaction. Today, Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib said, "We need to just eradicate police in America and incarceration." I need to hear from Charles Booker your thoughts about policing in America, where how you envision how we should be policing in America. Should we completely wipe out police departments?
Well, you know, I think it's a very important point. And, you know, I look forward to speaking with the congresswoman, but from growing up in a community where we're often seen as enemy combatants. I've seen raids where doors were busted in for neighbors. I've often said how it feels like we're treated as a deadly weapon before being seen as a human being just because of the color of my skin or because we don't have enough money in our pocket. The truth of the matter is we need community safety. We actually need public safety. And how do we get there? Because when we're in a time of crisis, we do need those folks that are trained, the agencies that we pay for, to come to our aid because that's what they're there for. But what we don't need is when there's a traffic violation and the air freshener is in the rearview mirror and that's a violation in Minnesota, that leads to a death sentence. You know, everybody can agree we don't need that. And so I think this is a bigger conversation about not having fewer women and men that are there to protect us, but actually making sure that the women and men that are in service are protecting us. That's the bigger conversation, and that's why I've said for years now that we need to fully fund public safety and not just invest in putting men and women that are in uniform and law enforcement in situations that are dangerous for them, let alone deadly for communities like mine. And so I think that's the deeper conversation, and it means that we have to acknowledge the history of policing. It means we have to acknowledge the struggles that we have in policing right now. And instead of falling into our partisan corners and not listening to one another, we should chart the course for real public safety in Kentucky and in our country. And that's going to mean that we have more investment than just an armed officer showing up to address a mental health crisis. That should be clear.
Charles Booker, one last thing for the infrastructure package. We don't know how big it's going to be, but we know there's going to be one. You want to represent the entire Commonwealth of Kentucky. Where should the focus be first on the monies that come in for infrastructure, which we all know goes beyond just roads and bridges?
Yeah, you know, one of the big things that I've talked a lot about, Terry, is internet. You know, the fact that it's a utility. And, you know, in my work in as a director of Fish and Wildlife, working across Kentucky, there are so many areas across Kentucky that are disconnected and don't have access to resources. And to be honest with you, in the west end of Louisville, we have much more in common with Appalachia than we do the rest of Louisville in a lot of ways. And one of them is internet. Because depending on where you are, the internet is crap. And so I think being emphatic on saying we need to invest in our infrastructure, make sure that it's actually 21st century, and that everybody, everywhere, has the tools to advance their education, have a good paying job, have a roof over their head that's sustainable, have a road that they can drive on that won't tear their car up, be able to get from one part of Kentucky to the other part. All of these things are fundamental to us having a future. And I've heard the conversation for folks in rural areas where people will tell them they should move, like they should leave their home. I've had folks tell me that from the West End, like you should just give up on it. And, man, that's my home. Kentucky's my home. You know, we love our community. We love our families. We should want to make it better. And I think this infrastructure plan is a great start. I think it needs to be way bigger because we haven't done this type of work in generations. But to me, it's a part of that Kentucky New Deal that I believe we need.
Way bigger than the $2.5 trillion they're proposing?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, in a place like Kentucky, you know, poverty is something that gets handed down from generation to generation. You know, we have whole areas of communities, and like I constantly mentioned, the West End, because of how big it is in the city and how so much infrastructure is missing. We know that poverty, in a larger sense, inequity, in a greater sense, is because of our policy choices. It's because of our investments. And so when you were asking where those resources should go first, they should go to the areas that we've been leaving behind, which honestly for Kentucky is pretty much the entire damn state. And so at a moment where we need it the most, we definitely need someone in Washington that's not going to oppose it. And Rand Paul is too busy looking in the mirror at himself to care about investing in our infrastructure and would never support it. So that's another reason why it's very clear he should go. I'm just saying that this moment has to be about Kentucky and not just one terrible politician.
Charles, great speaking with you again. I hope the family's doing well through this pandemic and that you get to spend ample time with them while you're campaigning.
Thank you, man. You know, I got another baby on the way. We're naming her Justice. So I got three girls. I'd be completely outnumbered, but it's a blessing.
Well, you get to do plenty of talking out on the campaign trail because you're not going to get a word in edgewise at home.
You already know it.
Great to talk to you, Charles. Thanks so much.
Always. Thank you.
That's Charles Booker. You can find him online, of course, and learn more about his campaign for the U.S. Senate. Booker4KY, and it's the number 4, Booker4KY.com. Hey, you know what? Check that on that website for Charles Booker. His website is his name, charlesbooker.org is what I see up on the screen. And Booker4KY is a Twitter handle. Sorry for the misdirection on that. charlesbooker.org.